Just a couple things I want to remind you of before we get started with our discussion. The floor is open during the entire discussion for any questions that you might have. We encourage you to ask questions, and the more that you ask, the more you're going to get out of it, and the richer the discussion that's going to happen up here. And so if you do have a question, you're going to make your way down to the mic, so that includes teachers and students. Anyone is free to ask those questions. So I realize that Stephanie has introduced everyone, but what I'm going to ask of you is if you can just give a short highlight your career in a short personal introduction, maybe some background on your education, and anything else in a brief start. So, Varuna, would you like to begin?
Sure. So, hi everyone. My name is Varuna, and I'm currently a senior medical student at the University of Toronto. I grew up moving to a new city every 3 years of my life. So I grew up in India, Hong Kong, and then Toronto. And that sort of constant moving made me, it kind of percolated into my career as well. So I've done a lot of different things and changed a lot of fields. When I grew up, I thought, like Natalie, I wanted to be an astronaut. I then changed my mind, decided I loved the written word and wanted to be a journalist. And I ended up actually going into engineering at the University of Toronto. I started off in engineering science, but I had skipped a few years of high school. So I was 16, I was completely unprepared, and I almost failed out my first year of university. Then switched into materials engineering, decided I liked healthcare, did my master's in clinical engineering, and started working in patient safety and medical devices. So trying to make our hospitals and our medical devices safer for patients and preventing medical errors. That work was really exciting. It took me to internships in Boston, working at Mass General. I went to the World Health Organization in Geneva and did an internship there. And after all of that, I decided that I also really wanted to do patient work. And so I applied to medical school, and many years later, here I am. And I'm hoping that in my future career, I'll bring the engineering and the medicine together and craft something that involves the best of both worlds.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Jenna? Hi. So my name is Jenna. I'm a pharmacist. I just want to say how honored and inspired I am to be up here with these other women and talking to you about all sorts of scientific fields that you can get into. Kind of common thread, I thought I wanted to be an astronomer when I was in high school. But then as I got more and more into the physics, I kind of realized maybe that wasn't so much what I wanted to do, but I found other scientific career paths, loved chemistry, loved biology, and I also loved working with people. So first I was going to get into research and development in the pharmaceutical field, but I kind of still wanted to have that one-on-one contact with people, so I found that pharmacy was kind of a perfect hybrid of both. I could still do a lot of research, still do a lot of development, and still help people a lot. So yes, as a pharmacist behind the counter, you know, we check prescriptions. We also make sure that it's the right drug for the right patient for the right reason. A large amount of our time is spent on the phone with doctors, nurses, consulting, and just explaining things to people. To explain something to someone who doesn't understand why they're taking a medication, or tell them that maybe they've been doing it not necessarily wrong, but that there are better ways to do it, and that they might be interacting with other medications that they're taking that they had no idea about. So it's really great. That's the best part of my job, is talking to people on a regular basis and just giving them a little bit of our scientific knowledge that they can understand.
Thank you. Mina?
So you heard my brief educational background in my introduction earlier. One thing that wasn't said, I grew up in a tiny village in Greece. Just to give you an idea, my graduating class in high school was 9 people. And I actually knew I wanted to do physics early on. In fact, I don't think I really committed to anything else other than physics. And one of the things that fascinated me when I was, I think I calculated this when I was in elementary school, I calculated how much time it takes for the light to reach us, to reach the Earth from the sun. And it takes 8 minutes if you do the math. And for me, this was a magical thing, because it tells you that in reality, there's no simultaneity. Nothing happens at the same time. Let's imagine that the sun were about to explode now. You'll only learn about it 8 minutes later. Every time you talk to someone, you see their past. You can never see them right now as they are now. So, and this is what got me, I think, this is one of my early memories of my fascination with physics, and basically continued throughout my life. I'm glad I ended up doing it for pay.
Thank you. Jessica?
So, science has been part of my life for as long as I can remember. I remember taking apart my toys to try and figure out how they worked, and I got in trouble for that a lot, because I could never really put them back together. And I also remember when my friends were writing creative writing stories in school, I remember one time writing about fossil fuels. That was not really a creative writing story, but it was what excited me at the time. I always knew that science was going to be part of my life, and I was fortunate enough to have a father who was a developer, and this was a long time ago, before the internet, and when people didn't often have computers at home. That's how old I am. I think I'm older than most of the people on the panel and speaking today. But my dad was able to share with me his passion for computers and development, and it excited me too. Not unlike Sage, being able to kind of create things was exciting to me. So. I ended up taking a computer science degree as my undergraduate degree, and I absolutely loved it. Again, being one of the few females in the group was intimidating, but I stuck with it. As I progressed in my career, I understood that connecting people with technology was really important, and so my career has now gone down the path of really understanding what customers want from our products and trying to understand how we can make their lives easier. So that's kind of the path that my career has taken.
Thank you. So remember, any questions that you have, the microphone is there for you. But we'll start off maybe this question. What do you know now that you wish you knew when you were back in high school, when you were making education or career choices? Is there something that you've learned along the way that you thought, that would have been helpful when I was younger? Anyone want to start? Faruna, I see you're nodding.
Yeah. I was very confused and very shy in high school, and I think I wish I had known that I could have whatever I wanted and that it was within my power to sculpt that. In high school, I thought whatever degree I ended up going into would determine the rest of my life, and that I had to stay in that one field. I started off in engineering science, deriving calculus equations from first principles, and now here I am taking care of patients every day. So clearly, two very different worlds, and I managed to bridge that gap quite easily. So I think just keeping your mind open and recognizing that even if you take a turn that you didn't expect, you can always end up wherever you want if you plan it right.
Jessica, what about you?
I think, Sage talked about it a little bit, and I'm sure Natalie's experienced this in her career as well. Being a woman and being, the way that girls are typically brought up or have more maybe so in the past than now, we're not taught to kind of speak up and speak our mind and know that we can be confident in what we can do. We tend to kind of sit in the background. So I think learning along the way that I do have something to say, I do have something important to contribute, is a really important lesson that I've learned. And I've learned that by trial and error, and I hope all of you can kind of be able to embrace that earlier on in your lives.
Anyone else like to chime in?
I just think just asking in high school, because there are so many options. You kind of just hear about the broad, big careers that there are out there, but there's so many little avenues that you can go down in so many different science fields. So like Sage was saying, connect with mentors. They can lead you down to paths you never even knew existed. You never even knew that was a possible career, and it could be something that you absolutely love. So yeah, just know that there's tons of stuff out there in the science field.
And to not be afraid to take those opportunities and or make the opportunities if they're not there. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to ask another question. Again, the microphone is right there. Don't be scared. So along those same lines, what was the most interesting or unexpected step or change in your career that you had, or some experience that you thought, wow, I didn't expect that, and it kind of went that way?
So I'm a theoretical physicist, but I didn't start off that way. I always knew I wanted to do physics. So when I came to Stanford, I thought at first I wanted to be an experimentalist. And I started working on condensed matter experiments. I was actually experimenting with material that are superconductors. Basically, imagine material that can transfer power, electricity, across huge distances with no losses at all. But the problem is we cannot use them because they only happen at very, very cold temperatures. So I was experimenting with this type of material to try to understand their properties and building this material. And I was realizing that I was spending so much time in the lab and I wasn't getting anything out of it. I would spend many hours, I would be there at 4 a.m., and everything would work, but I would get no satisfaction out of it. And then I realized that this is not my calling. And in the middle of my second year in grad school, I was like, this is it. I knew I liked theory, but I was afraid to pursue it. I thought I wouldn't be good at it. And at the end, I said, okay, the hell with this. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And even if I fail at it, at least I would have tried. And this is the mantra I took from that point on. It wasn't easy. I couldn't tell left from right in the beginning in theory. I was stumbling to try to find my footing, understand things. There were people around me that were much more confident. And it took me quite a bit of while to discover that confidence. But in the end, it worked out. So I'm glad that this is my lesson that I got from grad school. Don't set limits for yourselves. In fact, other people will set those limits for you. So try not to put any on your own.
I feel like that's been a common theme throughout, you know, the other two speakers, and go for it, right? And it's okay to try and fail, but get back up again and keep going. Anyone else like to chime in on that one? Jenna? Unexpected kind of changes in path of career or education or...
Kind of just like what I said at the beginning, like I thought I was going to go down one career path and just found that wasn't what I wanted. That wasn't what was making me happy. So, and also even now when I was in pharmacy school, I did a lot of work in hospitals. There's a couple different branches that pharmacists can go into. You can go into many different branches, but the main ones are sort of hospital pharmacy or community pharmacy or, research and development. I was positive I was going to be in hospital pharmacy until I did a placement in about third year in community pharmacy and realized that they're both great, but in community pharmacy you deal with the same patients over a long period of time, so you get to see people over the years, and they come to you with questions. They come to you with questions even non-science related because they find you're friends in the end. So that was kind of a different field, and I kind of changed everything and went down the community path. And even now, in the next couple of years, might get into an ownership role where I'm looking at potentially owning my own pharmacy. Never thought I would do that ever. I don't really have a business background, but it's something that I'm just learning with. Like we said, you're constantly learning. You never know where you're going to end up. So even in the last couple of days, I've been going online doing research about how to own my own business, start my own business. So just you never know what path you might end up going down. And it's very interesting. It's always great to be learning new things.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to move on to another question, Welcome.
Was there anyone that you looked up to or that inspired you while you were trying to decide what field you were going into or the field that you were already in?
Jenna? Jessica, do you want to?
Well, I kind of mentioned that my dad was inspiring to me, and I think he, you know, he was doing computer development when it wasn't really that mainstream. I think it's become a lot more popular now and a lot cooler, frankly. My dad was doing a lot of development very early on. I would also say that my mom was very inspirational to me in having a career and working outside the home when a lot of moms maybe weren't necessarily doing that, and so that's another area. You know, I realized that you don't have to just, do the family thing. You can do that too. I'm a mom myself, but you can also have a career. And I think that's, my parents were really important in that.
Thank you. Go ahead.
What do you think is the biggest risk you took in your life?
Ooh, any big risk takers here? Veruna? What's your biggest risk?
I threw a fully funded PhD in the States and applied to a master's program. Applied to a master's program here in Toronto about 10 minutes before the deadline. It was 11:50 p.m. So I could have been somewhere in Evanston, Illinois, reverse engineering zebra muscle adhesion proteins, and instead I'm here doing, I think, absolutely the right thing for me. And the story behind, or I guess the moral of this story is, you can have a lot of goals and you can plan your life around your goals and have very rigid timelines, but sometimes gut instinct kicks in and you should definitely leave enough flexibility in your career to respect that gut instinct.
Exactly.
This is just a question for Mina. I was wondering if you found any valuable experiences going from Greece to America to now in Canada, and if you think there's a value in not just staying in like the province where you're born in, if you should just go out and look around.
What you realize actually is that people around the world are people. And this is actually something to keep in mind all the time. I grew up in a country where, by the way, you've seen my big fat Greek wedding, right? So we think we've invented everything. So it's good to go outside of your little bubble and see people with different experiences from different cultures, see the different approaches to life, to even at work, to problem solving, and also see the similarities. And what I've appreciated is the similarities, how you go around and you see that people everywhere are always wonderful, welcoming, smart, enthusiastic. Yes, I think it's actually traveling. This is something that I think I have benefited a lot from. So right now, I consider myself a citizen of the world, not just of Greece.
Yes, so if you do have a question that's directed to someone, feel free.
This is directed for all of you. Do you have any advice if you don't know what you're going to do after high school, especially if you're like seeing everyone have their entire life planned out and you're just so confused, you have so many passions and you just don't know where to start?
I would say that I still don't know what I want to do when I grow up. So don't feel discouraged by not necessarily knowing. You know, I always had the friends too that knew exactly that they wanted, you know, the career path that they wanted to follow. And I think you don't always know what doors are going to open along the path. I think you got to just pursue the things that are interesting to you and follow those doors that open and see where that path takes you. Work mm-hmm. hard.
Yeah. Can I add something to that? The other, I think, important thing is you know you have found the right career when you're in the weeds of a project or something and everything is going horrible and you still don't want to give up. So it's not when the times are good when you know you're in the right place, it's when the times are bad. So when you try things and you find things difficult, but you still feel like this is what you want to do, then you know you've made the right decision.
Take something. If beyond high school you want to take that course or take that degree, give it a try. Nothing's set in stone. And I think that you mentioned that before. You can make your changes along the way.
Yeah,
you can always, even if you don't take the right courses in first year university or anything like that, you can always go back. You can take them in the summer. You can catch up with things, even go back and take high school credits if you need them to move on into the field you need to. Like, the doors are never closed.
Come on up to the microphone.
Okay, so I have a 15-second story to just help move the question along. So when I was little, and this is the reason why I'm here today, the one thing that I found inspiration to become a scientist or an engineer in the first place was actually by watching a Disney movie, Finding Nemo. I wanted to be a marine biologist at the time. So I guess my question is, do any of you guys have childhood memories that were, if it weren't for that one moment, you wouldn't be here today?
That's a good question. Anything, any other Disney movies? So the question was there anything in your childhood that sort of sparked that interest in you or drove you to go into science as a career, like marine biology? Yeah, okay, great.
So when I was very young, my dad, who was in the Indian Navy at that time, went on an expedition to Antarctica for a whole year. I must have been 4 or 5, I want to say, and I didn't really understand what was happening. And there was no way to communicate because there was no internet back then. That's how old I am. And my mom at the time actually took a ham radio training course. So ham radio is this very antiquated sort of long-range radio system, but it's very complicated to operate. You have to get licensed. You have to buy all this technology that's hard to find and hard to source in India at that time. Anyway, my mom took this ham radio training course, and she set it up so that she and I and the rest of the family members of people on that expedition could talk to their loved ones all the way at the base station in Antarctica. And I remember talking to my dad, and I told him to bring me back a penguin if he could so that I could put it in our freezer. And I was just amazed that my dad was at the bottom of the world on this map, and I was here, and I could chat with him. And I wanted to find out how that worked, how the science behind this invisible sort of magic made this happen. And that was such a poignant moment for me that really got me interested in the sciences and in physics later on. And yeah, I would say that was a big moment, big step.
Excellent. And it's seeing those moments and kind of saying, hey, I'm curious about that, and diving into it a little bit, not being scared to dive into it. Yeah. Any other connections? You don't have to, but just throw it out there.
Great story.
But like I said earlier, a lot of the things that just my natural curiosity as to how things worked and how to make things work together, I think really just throughout my childhood, and I was fortunate enough to be able to continue to pursue that natural curiosity.
All right.
Have you guys ever dealt with people who doubted you, and if so, how did you react or deal with it?
Yeah. I can go.
Yes.
I think we all have. I can say sometimes it's been horrible. I've had a horrible reaction to it. Sometimes I've had an okay reaction to it. That was the hardest thing to adjust to when I switched to theoretical physics. And I can tell you their egos are big. Everyone thinks they're the next Einstein, which is, in most cases, not true. But it can be quite intimidating when you interact with people, because they come out abrasive, they come out very very demeaning sometimes. So this is where I think I got used to it over the years, and I, instead of taking it out on myself and feeling bad about myself and not feeling competent, in the end I realized that they're probably not as smart as they think. And this is where I think this is where building, when doing my research and seeing the recognition in my research, this is where I build up my confidence to be able to deal with it better. And even now, I can tell you it's not easy all the time when you have someone that's been abrasive to you and shouts at you or says demeaning things or ironical things to you. It happens, I have to say it happens less and less. yeah, this is something that you get, you shouldn't, again, it comes back, you should be courageous when you want to pursue something. And you learn as you go. And you shouldn't put yourself down if you respond in some situation in a bad way, okay?
Yeah, that's a great answer. And, you know, it's one of those things my mother would always say, you know, succeed in spite of them, not because of them. So if someone does give you that, you know, that comment, it's like, well, I'll show you, which was, you know, like I'm buying my computer somewhere else kind of thing, right? Yeah. All right, come on up.
What intersections have you found between science and politics, and how can we go about and explore those and turn it into a career?
Ooh. Anyone interested in politics?
In front? Mr. Duncan outside.
Yeah.
She's a scientist herself. I don't know how to answer that question. I think it comes from how you care to approach science. If you also like interacting with people, and you view it also from the sociological side, how science affects the way societies do things and the way and it affects civilization, then there must be avenues to do this. But from personal experience, I have to say all I care about most of the time is my equations, my project working out. So, but there are obviously ways, and Minister Duncan is a great example of that. Yes.
I don't know. What about pharmaceutical?
I'm not big into politics, but I have thought many times how I can hopefully, I hope one day to be able to contribute bringing something from the healthcare sector into politics. Exactly, there's lots of people who come from a science background and have been able to integrate themselves into politics, and these are the people that can make great change. And there is a lot of strain on our healthcare system right now. Of course, sometimes I think, oh, I have the answer to that, of course. I know how we can save millions of dollars. But I would one day love to, that's a perfect way to integrate healthcare and politics coming from the healthcare side, because you see things front line and you can see sometimes how things aren't working for people, things aren't working for the public, and how things are working great, and maybe different suggestions for what you can bring forward.
Thank you.
Hi. As a 15-year-old who goes to high school and like has friends and everything and tries to like fit in and everything, what would you say to girls who think they're not smart enough or not like the top of their class or the kid who doesn't answer every question? Like, what would you say to the people who feel like, well, I can't be a doctor because, you know, I don't have the grades, or I can't be in science because I'm just not as smart as this other person?
Well, I think that, I know I'm not one of the panelists, I'll just chime in really quickly. I think that you have to have a growth mindset and think, if I work hard at something that I'm passionate about, I can succeed and I can learn. And I can tell you that I didn't get straight A's in school, and I worked really hard for every B that I got, that I earned. And if you work hard, it'll take you far. And I think that grades, don't get focused on the grades. Get focused on your goal, what you want, and work hard at it.
Can I chime in?
Absolutely.
Really quickly, because what you're describing, there's actually a term for this, and it's called imposter phenomenon, and it's very, very common in young women, especially young women in the sciences, young women in medicine, young women in engineering, women in leadership positions. And recognizing that feeling of self-doubt that you have about your abilities is crucial to getting over that mental hurdle that you might have. I definitely experienced this. I never thought I was smart enough in high school. I already told you that I almost failed my first year of engineering at U of T. And so I always thought my grades would never be good enough to get into med school. And to this day, I still think it's a miracle that I'm doing what I'm doing. But recognizing that and knowing that you have your subjective impression of your abilities, and that's going to be tainted by your own self-doubt. but they're also objective measures of your ability. So if you're getting grades, if you are, if people like you, if you're meeting some certain milestones in school and university, you get into a particular program, you're there because you got there through your own hard work, and you're there because you earned that spot, and you're not an imposter, and you're not faking it, and it's not a big conspiracy that you're doing what you're doing. And I think it's crucial for young women in particular to recognize that they have a bit of a blind spot about themselves often, and to sit down every few months and really reflect on that and try to overcome that mental barrier that we often set up for ourselves.
Thank you.
Thank you.
In science, there's a lot of, in science, there's a lot of safety precautions, and I was wondering if in any of your fields you've ever been like in danger or like not necessarily life, like life or death, but like oh, if I mess up, like my whole arm's gonna be gone, or like a burn, like anything kind of like that.
Do you mean, I can tell you the feeling that you get when you go to an interview at a job that you really like. So it feels like it's the end of the world. But if you say something, or you count every word you say, and sometimes it can go really bad. But this is something that, again, this is something that I think comes from experience. When you expect yourself to fail, there is a good chance, you increase the chance that you actually will. So, I think it comes from experience, and at the end you have to realize that in those situations, for example, it's just a job. Before I got this one, there are several other ones that I thought I wanted more that I got that I was rejected from, and tons of them. And in fact, before I came here, I was in a low point. I was like, why am I not getting any jobs? What on earth am I doing wrong? It's never going to work out. And I was getting frustrated, and I turned, as Ashley said, I turned my frustration into positivity. I was like, okay, you guys don't want to hire me? I'll show you guys. I'll do even better work, and then you wish you would have hired me.
Hi. Oh, that was loud. So you are all very incredibly intelligent women, obviously, but I was wondering if you have ever been in a position or scenario where you felt as if you were in over your head and surrounded by people that you thought knew more than you. If so, how did you cope with this, and how did you, like, fit yourself into that situation?
All the time. I constantly feel like that.
It doesn't mean that I don't have skills or knowledge or abilities that are different and stronger in different ways than other people. I think it's just recognizing that there are always people with a diverse set of knowledge, diverse set of passions, a diverse set of experiences, and you have to recognize the strengths in yourself, and that's not always clear, don't get me wrong, but you do have to dig deep sometimes and recognize some of those strengths that you have in yourself and really fake the confidence even if you don't have it.
Thank you.
There's been this really big emphasis on both creating goals for yourself in the future while at the same time remaining flexible, which is actually a really difficult balance, especially when you're sort of in high school and like really looking towards, you're like, oh, like I have this career path in mind, and then your guidance counselor being like, you're not flexible enough, or you don't have enough vision. So what's like some advice you might give for someone who needs to sort of balance that out?
Fruna, do you have any advice?
I think rather than honing in on a particular job or a particular career, think about your values and what types of work you think you might like. I'm a firm believer that all jobs and careers come in baskets, and certain personality types are suited to certain baskets of job types. So if you like working with people, you know, maybe, and you like science, then maybe something in medicine, which could be being a doctor, being a nurse, being a pharmacist, being a physiotherapist. There's a number of different job types that might appeal to that type of personality. Conversely, if you prefer working by yourself, if you value public service, if you like to go out and rally people up, there's a million different things that people value, and my values are different from your values. I think that's maybe a broader way of trying to shape a career rather than honing in on a particular market sector or a particular type of field. I think that just seems more specific to me, whereas this is more based on your personality and you can kind of grow into it depending on how your interests evolve.
I would also like to add that the goals don't have to be, you know, the long-term goal or that future goal of what you're going to do in 20 years from now. I think the goals can be short-term for you. I think they can be things like, you know, learning how to program could be a summer camp goal. You know, you can set a goal about, you know, finding a mentor in the next few months. So there are really short-term goals that you can try and accomplish that will help lead you to some of those aspects. Don't feel like those goals have to be, you know, set in stone for 10 years from now. They can be small bite-sized attainable things.
So at this time, we're going to wrap up the panel, and if there was maybe just one or two words of a message that we could leave with these young women, we'll go around, and then we'll end it. I'd just like to thank each of the panelists for being here today, and this was a really great discussion, so thank you very much. Jessica, one or two words to leave with them?
I would say never stop learning, don't let challenges discourage you from continuing, and work hard.
Can you skip me for a second?
Right to pass.
Kind of, Natalie said it too about when she applied for NASA, even though she wasn't qualified. I had a teacher in university who said the same thing to me. She applied to be the director of forensic science and was barely out of school. Don't let things stop you. Go out there, try new things. Even if you don't think you're qualified, try anyways, because at least you learn something, you get your name out there. You never know where it may lead.
I'm not that far out from your age and your stage in life, and I know how terrifying it is to not know exactly what you want to do. Just never doubt your own self-worth and trust that it will all work out well in the end. I promise.
Yeah. Just don't be afraid of failure, I guess. From failures, I think I have learned more from my failures than from my successes in life. So don't be afraid to try things and fail at them. Eventually, you will succeed at something.
Thank you.